Welcome to Frankly Speaking About Family Medicine, a CME podcast series where each week we translate today's late-breaking clinical research and news into tomorrow's practice. I'm Dr. Frank Domino, professor in the Department of Family Medicine and Community Health at the University of Massachusetts Chan Medical School and editor-in-chief of the 5-Minute Clinical Consult. This podcast is brought to you by PrimeMed. Karen is 52 and here for her 3-month follow-up of her type 2 diabetes and hypertension. Her focus is to discuss real options today to help her lose weight. She has quit smoking in the last year, which you congratulate her for, and it set her weight loss goals back a bit. The smoking had really helped cut down on her appetite. She feels like she needs some more guidance and restriction, as one of her friends tried a meal replacement plan and lost a dramatic amount of weight. Karen wants to know if these things really work, as she'd love to try to decrease her medications as well. Hi, this is Frank Domino, and joining me to discuss weight loss options for patients to reverse type 2 diabetes is Dr. Jill Therrien, Associate Professor and Associate Dean of Interprofessional and Community Partnerships at the UMass Chan Medical School, Tan Ching Fen Graduate School of Nursing. What a great topic today. Thanks so much, Jill.
Thanks for having me, Frank.
So, what do we know about meal replacement diets? What are the pros and cons?
We do know they have been around for a very long time. The impetus overall being calorie restriction for weight loss. This can be done by totally replacing meals, which we're going to discuss next, or partially, like you might do one meal replacement a day or two. And the meal replacement can come in various forms, such as shakes or bars. And the pros to it is that there's really minimum effort required for busy lifestyles. It can be flexible and convenient. Calorie counting is more controlled. There's varied choices of meal replacement products. I'm sure that our listeners could name quite a few. And there's some added nutritional formulas to meet some of the dietary needs. And there might even be options such as social media support groups that come with some of these total meal replacement plans. But there are some cons. They're less nutritious than, you know, a wholesome, healthy meal. They lack natural vitamins, minerals, and proteins. And they can't provide all the antioxidants your body requires. And overall, there's questionable sustainability when using this diet long term that could possibly reverse and lead to some weight gain. With Karen having type 2 diabetes and hypertension, there's a recent publication in Diabetes Care that studied total meal replacement with an outcome of diabetes remission.
Wow. No kidding. Diabetes remission. I agree with you. It's kind of hard to get these things to stay on for a long period of time. But if you're talking diabetes remission, I think it sounds wonderful. Tell us a bit about how the study was done.
Sure. First, I just want to say a disclosure that this study was funded in part by Nestle Health Science, and that's who makes OptiFast, which was the meal replacement product that was used in this study. It was done in Australia. It was an open-label, single-arm intervention trial across 25 primary care practices. And with that primary outcome of type 2 diabetes remission at 12 months. So that was the primary outcome. And how they defined that remission was a hemoglobin A1C less than 6.5% and cessation of glucose-lowering medications for at least 2 months, and that could be plus or minus 7 days on either end. They had some secondary outcomes, which were weight change at 12 months and type 2 diabetes remission, and weight change at measurement months of 3, 6, and 9. So a little bit about who did this study, and I found this interesting. Participants aged 20 to 65 with type 2 diabetes up to a 6-year duration that they could have had it for at least 6 years. Their hemoglobin A1C had to be greater than 6.5%, their BMI greater than 27, and they couldn't be on insulin. And they were excluded, of course, if they had type 1 diabetes, an HbA1c greater than 10%, or in the prior 6 months, if they had lost 5 kilograms, and if they had stage 3B or greater chronic kidney disease. They couldn't be pregnant or planning pregnancy, and they couldn't have had an ischemic cardiac event within 6 months or severe cardiac disease, and of course, allergy to the product they were going to use. They also excluded people with substance abuse or if they were participating in another trial. So, you know, overall what they did is the procedure included a 13-week total dietary replacement with dietitian visits every 2 weeks. So, 3 meal replacements a day. It was an 800-calorie meal replacement if their BMI was less than 40. If their BMI was greater than 40, they could have 4 meal replacements a day, and that gave them about 950 calories total. Also, greater than 2 liters of low-energy fluid. So, you know, we're talking water products mainly. 2 cups of low-starch vegetables with a tablespoon of oil, and they could use psyllium fiber for constipation. And then what happened? So they had that 13 weeks, total meal replacements, and then it was followed by 8 weeks of structured food reentry. They decreased the meal replacements, and the dietitian visits went to 2 to 4 weeks, and they added in some healthy, low-fat meals. And then it went to an individual approach. They gave them an individual prescription to prevent weight gain with monthly dietitian visits. All type 2 diabetes meds stopped at the start of the diet were reintroduced if they needed to. So with weight gain and a hemoglobin A1C greater than 6.5%, they called this a rescue plan. And they often introduced the meal replacements. And all participants were advised to increase daily physical activity to a target of 15,000 steps a day. What I didn't see discussed in here was any sort of, increased, you know, cardiometabolic activity. It was just all talked about with steps.
Well, it sounds sort of like a very, very structured plan, but it's not too hard. Maybe getting the dietitians that close, but everything else sounds pretty cookie cutter. What did they find? What were the outcomes?
Well, it was pretty successful. The outcomes were, you know, the primary outcome at 12 months, 56% of the participants achieved remission. So that was about 86 of 155 participants at the end. And this was highest after the first phase, with remission of 66% of participants, about 102 of them, and 11% weight loss at the first phase average. Overall, 44% required rescue plans, and the overall weight loss for the whole group at 12 months was about 8%.
Well, an 8% weight loss is a home run. In a year's time, you know, we get 10% or so with GLP-1s, maybe 7 to 8% with phentermine and topiramate as in the way of drug treatment. So just this dietary intervention, that weight loss alone has huge health implications, including the remission of diabetes. What were the other outcomes they found?
Well, they had some adverse outcomes. There were about 2 patients that in the 12 months of follow-up experienced hypotension requiring hospitalization and antihypertension adjustment. So there were no deaths from this or anything that way, just a couple of hospitalizations. And, you know, one of the things we know that type 2 diabetes in the U.S. is common. So let's compare it to Australia. So in Australia, about 1 in 20 people have type 2 diabetes. Compared to the U.S., 1 in 10
Wow.
have type 2 diabetes. So we're double what Australia is.
Wow. That's concerning. That's truly concerning. What are we going to do, Karen? I mean, are we going to try to roll this out of our office? And what do we recommend?
So, I mean, Karen, you could explore with her what's her friend done and what have they used. But if she wants to do what the study did, there is OptiFast USA, and you can see a link that I provided in the resources. It looks like there's about 3 programs for our Massachusetts listeners that are local. But what I want to say is, overall, she's quit smoking, which is amazing. We want to congratulate her on that. Can she work on lifestyle modifications of diet and exercise without the extreme calorie-limiting meal replacements that are difficult to sustain? That was my takeaway from this, but I think there's a great use for them. She might want to replace one meal. She might want to visit a dietitian. Whatever we can do to get her to, you know, improve her lifestyle interventions. Don't know if we can get her to remission, but again, it's a possibility with what we've seen in this study.
Thanks, Jill. This is a great option for someone who doesn't want to try a medication, and I love the fact that it's lifestyle-based.
Well, one more thing, Frank. So, you know, it's a great option for someone who doesn't want, as you mentioned, doesn't want to go on further medication like a GLP-1 or a GLP agent, or if it's not covered by insurance. They're expensive. And if they're not covered, it's not an option for everybody.
I agree. Well, thanks, Jill. This is terrific.
Practice pointer. Meal replacement, whether it be total or partial, can be an option for your patients to reduce calories, lose weight, and improve their type 2 diabetes, and also their other comorbid conditions such as hypertension.
Join us next time while we talk about using your smartphone to make the diagnosis of obstructive sleep apnea.
Thank you for listening to Frankly Speaking About Family Medicine, brought to you by PrimeMed. To claim CME credit and receive additional information about the article referenced in today's episode, follow the link in the description. To stay up to date on the most recent clinical research and news, please subscribe to Frankly Speaking About Family Medicine and be sure to check out PrimeMed.com for additional CME content.